Just a few words before we sing. And something about youth and about being young. Something about looking at the future. Well, you know, you have inherited the world. Lucky you are. With everything on it and everything all about it. And it's all yours. We old people, it will last our time. We don't have to deal with things. But the youth, they have to. Because they have to live tomorrow. Well, it's a little polluted, I guess. Sorry about that. I guess the previous generations sort of messed it up. But anyway, it's all yours. Time to dream, time to come up with ideals, time to do amazing things. Yeah, and time to deal with what is there. Anyway, who is young anyway? I'm thinking. Prabhupada once asked, can anyone show me an old man? And they looked around the room and they sort of pointed at one man, you know, who was like kind of wrinkled and clearly on the old side. And then Prabhupada said, Prabhupada pointed at a 5-year-old boy and said, he's an old man. How is he an old man? Prabhupada said, he's an old man because an old man is close to death. And everyone is close to death. So in that sense, everyone is old. Anyway, Krishna is ever fresh. He's definitely young. He's always young. And Krishna brings us new life, because that is what youth is about. Krishna is ever fresh and brings freshness. Sandipani Muni, when he was, it said he was like a mountain, and from the ocean of Krishna came clouds, and these clouds they deposited on the mountain of Sandipani Muni, his teacher. Then the water came down that mountain. It rained, and then the water came down and went back to the ocean. In this way, Sandipani Muni, the teacher, gave the knowledge back to Krishna. So then at the end of the education, Krishna had to offer some dakshin, and he did. He brought the son back of his teacher, and Sandipani Muni had to give some blessings, and Sandipani Muni gave the blessings that whatever descriptions there are about Krishna, they will be always fresh. So, the name of Krishna is always fresh, the discussions about Krishna are always fresh, and Krishna is ever fresh, because he is Novyodhanam, always, always useful. How do we focus on the holy name? It's something like worrying about seeing Krishna. And then Prabhupada, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, we don't worry about seeing Krishna, but we're worrying about Krishna seeing us. We would like him to see us. So how do we focus on the holy name? We would like the holy name to focus on us. Because the holy name is Krishna, and we only wish that Krishna would just recognize us in the midst of all these people, that somehow or other Krishna would look at us and think, oh yes, this one, I'll give them mercy. That is what we hope. So we're focusing on Krishna and on Krishna's mercy, praying that somehow or other we may get that special mercy. And in that way, then we automatically focus on the holy name. How can we practically realize that this process of Krishna consciousness gives us the ultimate freedom? Yeah. There are three levels of devotees, the Kanishtha Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. So the Madhyama Adhikari, the Kanishtha Adhikari, is one who is known as Prakriti Bhakta, or the materialistic devotee. So that devotee is sort of one foot on the spiritual side, another foot on the material side, and naturally, at that stage, we cannot experience ultimate freedom. Not possible. At that stage, we can experience, though, some freedom, some relief we are experiencing, actually, and some strength. When we become more committed, and when we have more faith, and we say, now, I'll let go of these material things, then we can more easily turn to Krishna. We can see Shada Sapta Vishwaskaris Vinis Jani Krishna Tikaran Sarukana Kritaya. It says that from devotional service all good things will come. So if you believe that, if you really believe that, then you can let other things go. Then you can take it. Just like we may not be free from material desires, but how much faith do we have in these things? See, it's not that we don't want some nice things, but is it enough? Is it enough? Some nice material, some jewelry, some nice cars, some nice gadgets, some nice things. Is it enough? Even is it enough if somebody tells you every day they love you? Maybe not. Is it enough? Nothing is in this world is ever enough. So when we understand that, that's when we are Madhyama Adhikari. And then Uttama Adhikari, well, the topmost devotee, yes, such a devotee experiences the ultimate freedom completely. Because ultimate is only there. But increasingly we experience freedom. Just like somebody wrote to me today and said, I have to tell you something, a devotee, and saying, like, for the last 25 years I've had a drug problem. I wish you would have told me 24 years and 364 days before. I wish you would have told me on the first day, because maybe I could have helped then. Now after 25 years, it's a long time. What to do now? A whole part of your life just went up in smoke. What can we do? So then what can we do? All that is precious time. Youth is great, but youth is also known for its folly, right? Which is a nice word for foolishness. And namely, they think that they have so much time. That's the one thing. Where youth, they think they have oceans of time, have all the time of the world. And before you know it, 25 years disappears. My God, what now? And how much left? So, no, use our time. Very, very, time is precious. Time is precious. Youth is a great opportunity because you have energy, you have health, you can do something. So now, do something smart, and not something foolish. Next, as a youth, I feel like I have ample time. Hey, look at that. That's amazing. I didn't read it, honestly. As a youth, I feel like I have ample time to take spiritual life seriously, as my life is just beginning. How can I overcome this thought pattern? and get serious now. Yeah, well. Yeah, but it's also, it depends what you want to achieve. If you want a small, if you have a small goal in life, then you don't need so much time. But if you want to actually go back to Godhead, in one lifetime, that's quite something. Then, I guess, we have to change a little. And that's it. You know, in my case, I don't know how it happened. I was 20, and then I was just 25. There was nothing in between. From 20, I went to 25. And then I was suddenly past 30, and then I was late 30s, and then I was 40. I said, how did that happen? And now I even lost count. It's like, a 40 is a long, long time ago. What can I say? 40. The other day, someone found me on the internet, one of my old teachers, and he sent me a school photo of when I was 14. And God, you know, it's just like, that wasn't 30 years ago, that wasn't 40 years ago, that was 50 years ago. So I'm getting a photo from 50 years ago. That was a long time ago. In one sense, in another sense, not so long. And now, have I made a lot of progress in that time on the way to the spiritual world? Well, I can't deny that there is some progress, not due to my credit, but due to the credit of just being in the Hare Krishna movement. You make advancement whether you want or not. You can't help it. Yeah. But still, I went too slow. That's the situation. I went too slow. And now, as I'm here now, I really, I have a lot of catching up to do if I want to pass the final exam. So like that. No, we don't have so much time. We should be serious about serious things. See, someone is asking here, how can I get serious now? We should be serious about serious things and not serious about not serious things. Unfortunately, there are many not so serious things. So you can have fun, you can have jokes, you can play, you can do many things. But when it comes to serious things, yeah, then we have to be serious. That is intelligent. How can the youth maintain their spiritual practices alongside their study and career? Well, it's all depending on faith. You see, passing an exam and so on is ultra stress. And obviously, if you're one of those people who study the day before and only then it will be difficult. But if you sort of study regularly, then it's not a problem to also practice Krishna consciousness. Because actually, that Krishna consciousness will give us self-control. And self-control is the key. It is the key. See, in these exams, if you chant every day, then you'll be able to compose yourself. You will not, like, completely lose it if you don't chant. No chance, like a snowball in hell. No way. If you don't chant, you're going to be in anxiety. But when you chant, you can sort of, not that there will be no anxiety, but less. We have that inner balance. By chanting, we have some balance within, which is not disturbed. So in that way, it actually helps our performance. So it's illusion that we think, oh, this chant, now I have to choose between my chanting and my studies. That's an illusion. Actually, it helps. Krishna consciousness strengthens us. Why do I feel like bad things happen to me when I chant? Well, today I got a B12 injection, and I felt it was a bad thing. Yeah, it felt bad, actually, you know, as I was getting it. But I know that actually it's good for me. That's why I let him do it. So it is in that way. Sometimes the medicine is not always sweet. Now they say with the holy name, luckily, it may be bitter in the beginning. But as we get purified, it becomes very sweet. So therefore, keep on chanting and it will get better all the time. Not better all the time, but better. So do not worry. When touching someone's feet, Prabhupada, is any karma exchanged? And what karma? Good, bad, or spiritual? Yeah, when you touch someone's feet, then the bad karma is being transferred. Therefore, you have these people that have the jobs where they take care of people's feet, you know? Those are good jobs, actually. If you're looking for a job opportunity, you can consider that, you know, manicuring and pedicuring. It's a kind of job, smelly feet, you might think, but I'm telling you, you will indeed get rid of a lot of karma in that job. Pediatrician is certainly recommended. Well, there's lots of questions, so I won't ask. Yes. Spiritual, it's said, by the way, good karma, bad karma, or spiritual karma. No, spiritual is not karma. Spiritual is called sukriti. You get karma and sukriti. Sukriti has nothing to do with karma. That's just spiritual credit with Krishna. That's called sukriti. And karma, good karma, bad karma, that ties you up in the material world. But sukriti attracts Krishna's mercy. Do we have to be frustrated after chasing for material success before becoming serious in Krishna consciousness? If you don't have so much intelligence, yes. If you have some intelligence, then you could possibly understand it beforehand. It's like, do I have to walk under a car to know that it's going to be painful? If I have no brain, probably I have to. If I have some brain, it's like, I think that's going to be painful. I'm going to avoid it. So in this way, now, material success. We are not against material success. But we are against wasting all our time to run after material success. And we are against sinful activities to attain material success. These are the issues. Otherwise, have as much material success as you can get, as is within your reach. When the apple is close, grab it. But if you have to bring a ladder, and if you have to climb all the way up in the tree, and then, you know, to the thin branches to get it, forget it, don't bother. Then it's not for you. In other words, one shouldn't over-endeavor for material success. That's the point. We should sort of, within our range, make a decent living. No one is saying live in poverty, have a decent life. But if a Mercedes is not reachable, there are other cars, they also get you there. Yeah. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Money is not everything. Have a life as well. That's a good idea. Have some time left. Be peaceful. Don't always be stressed out in anxiety. Work, work, work. And then when you come home, you also work on the phone. Always work. So that's not needed. That is chasing after material success. And then surely you will get frustrated, I guarantee you that. In what mood should we chant the holy name? Srila Prabhupada said we should chant the holy name like a child, like a helpless child. We approach Krishna in this way. In other words, understanding that really we depend on Krishna, that without Krishna we can't do anything successful in this world. It seems that sex and marriage are two separate desires, and one may have one and not the other. A comment. Well, Srila Prabhupada, his disciple, Brahmananda, was saying that in university he had a teacher, and the teacher said that everything in this world was motivated by sex desire. And Brahmananda said he had no insight that there is a spiritual inclination in people. This foolish teacher, and Prabhupada said, your teacher was right. So, Prabhupada also mentioned that the entire material world is a backdrop for sex life. The whole world is a backdrop for sex life. So, now there may be degrees to which we are affected by sex life. And I have a cartoon somewhere. I didn't bring my phone, so I can't show it to you. But basically, you know, you have to visualize this. There's no PowerPoint, nothing, no image. It's just, you know, it's just audio. It's not visual. And you have to now imagine it. I know it's inconceivable, but we're going to do it. Right? And this picture, it shows a boy and a girl. And the boy has a bunch of flowers. And then you see the thought bubbles, right? And the thought bubbles are overlapping a little bit, a little bit. And in the boy's bubble, there is only one word. It is sex. In the girl's bubble, there is also sex, and that overlaps with the boy's. And then there is marriage, children, grandchildren, home, everything is in her thought bubble as well. And it's a good cartoon, because that's how it is when boys start out with girls. They have only one thing in the bubble. And girls have many things in the bubble. And that's where complications do arise in the beginning. Anyway, so, yes. But when we mature, then we appreciate that free sexual relationships bring a lot of suffering. They bring pain, actually. They bring a lot of pain. So, being in marriage, then there is a situation of support. And it's more than just the flesh. There is actually two people who are trying to make a life together, friendship and support each other. And that's what marriage is supposed to be, and that's a higher level than just sex. In the Grihastha ashram, is it compulsory that marriage necessitates children? If a couple is focused on service, can they still avoid all the complications that children bring? Well, according to the scripture, if a couple has one child, the woman is still barren. Only when she has two children is it enough. One is not enough. So this one child policy doesn't work. The no children policy is not really what is recommended in the scripture. Now, we can try an experiment away from the scripture. But then in a way, we think we know ourselves better than the scripture knows. So ultimately, what to say, you know. When we are devotees and we get married, that's the Grihastha ashram, is a situation of sacrifice. And having children is where lust turns into sacrifice. It started out as lust, and then Once the kids pop out, then it becomes sacrifice, which is purifying. So that will melt the heart. So having children melts the heart. And if you never have children, you're missing out on something. Of course, it's peaceful. I never had children. But it was peaceful. Nice. Why do the Panchatattva deities' pictures have different colored clothing? That is, white, blue, red, orange, and gold. Is there any meaning behind this? They were wearing these different colored clothes. That is what we remember. And of course, when we think of Lord Nityananda wearing blue, he's Balaram, and Balaram is wearing blue. So that's indicating his identity as Balaram. And in the same way, Lord Chaitanya, reminding of Krishna. Then the other colors, I'm not sure. How do we develop faith? Well, faith we develop from people that have faith, because we have faith in them, just like Srila Prabhupada is like the shortcut, you can say. Whatever Prabhupada said, everyone believed. Prabhupada said they didn't go to the moon. Okay, they didn't go to the moon. Whatever Prabhupada said, no problem, because he had that quality of Krishna consciousness. It showed. And he had so much faith in Krishna. When Prabhupada was speaking about Krishna, then you were sure that he had seen Krishna, that he was seeing Krishna. So a person who has faith and realization can instill faith. That is the first thing. And then in the books, such knowledge is revealed. Like Bhagavatam, so many great personalities. There's Prahlad, there is Bhishma, there are all these great personalities, all these Mahajans. And through them, we can develop faith. We can see what they did. So by hearing about great devotees, we get faith. By hearing from great devotees, we get faith. By then, we start to serve Krishna a little bit. And then when you serve Krishna, everything changes. Krishna starts to manifest himself. And then our faith increases. So the more we hear, the more we serve the Vaishnavas, the more we serve Krishna, the more our faith will develop. How do we control subtle choice? Well, for now, let us focus on the more gross and make sure that these things are in place. Then we follow a program of devotional service. And over time we find a spiritual master, because many of these, how do we control? We will not control. It will be controlled when we let ourselves be controlled. That's how we get control. We get control when we let a superior Vaishnava control us. And as long as we try to control, it will be out of control. That is actually the process. So by surrendering to a spiritual master. Now the spiritual master is not going to control every aspect of our life, but he sort of puts some boundaries around us. He says, well, stay within this realm. And then we stay there. So there's still choices, but the damage is contained. We may still make some wrong choices. Spiritual master knows that. But he'll come and check it out and straighten it out after some time. And just like, when someone is is working, it's not so expert. Oh, you let them do something, and then later you come, you watch. You say, oh, straighten this out a little, straighten that out. How can I pray to chant more? By praying to chant more. Where I live, there isn't much devotee association, and I struggle to keep my rounds. What can I do? Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, so much emphasis has been placed on association. Everything depends on association, we need devotee association. But that's not everything. Because even when you are living in the temple, some people, they live in the temple, they also don't chant. In Vrindavan, we had one devotee in the temple. He had a bead bag. And then after years, we found out that there were no beads inside. We always wondered why the bead bag was so flat. One day we found out there were no beads. We just had a bead bag. What can we say? So, it's not only about association, it's also about determination. It is also about making a choice. Determination doesn't come from somebody else. We can't give you that. That is something that comes by your choice, by your decision, by you say, yes, I am going to do it because I know it's good. And I'll do it. It's a matter of that, of taking that decision, of thoroughly understanding. This Krishna consciousness, this chanting will bring me all the benefits. I'm going to do it. Somehow or other, I'm going to do it. So that decision now, you have to take. Praying and association will not be enough. Because the reason why you struggle with chanting is not because you're not praying enough, not because you don't have enough association. The reason why you have trouble with chanting is because you don't chant enough. You have to just decide to do it. Chant enough. And okay, I know that's a tough answer, but still, life is like that. You have to decide to do something. Right? It's that inner conviction you have to have. We were speaking before about inner vows, you know, where you resolve something yourself. Like if you're going to school, you know, you're not going to finish your school unless you decide at the beginning, I'm going to finish this. And if you think, well, I'll see how far I go, then I guarantee you're going to drop out. So yes, just do it. Just do it. Chant. And you don't have to pray, we will pray for you, all of us, right? Whoever you are, we're all going to pray for you now, that you may have the strength to chant. Srila Prabhupada made devotees by just chanting the holy names. 50 years later, is it possible to preach in the same way? If yes, why emphasis is given to this method of preaching? I mean, where did you get this, that Srila Prabhupada was making devotees by just chanting the holy names? Srila Prabhupada would always speak, even in the park, even in Tompkins Square Park, Prabhupada would speak after the kirtan. Prabhupada would have deep kirtans, but Prabhupada would also have lectures, and Prabhupada would hammer. He was known for his hammering technique. Prabhupada said, it's like karate, you find the weak spot and you keep on hammering on it again and again. Prabhupada said, I spent gallons of blood to make one devotee. It wasn't just Hare Krishna, and everyone went Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. No, no. Prabhupada was somehow or other convincing people. Just also by speaking and by cooking. And in that Metz's gift storefront, there was one pot, and in that pot, there were always gulab jamuns. And anybody could take as many as they liked. And it was always full. Now, I don't know why this tradition has been stopped. That's my question for the evening. What is your secret to getting everyone so entranced in kirtan? Well, I don't know. It's Krishna's mercy. But one thing I can say is that, you know, I'm not playing the harmonium. I am not singing for the sake of singing, right? For the echo of my voice. What I'm trying to do is I'm playing the people. I'm looking at the people, and I'm trying to drive them mad. What can I do? That's all I do. Thank you. We have deep conditioning from childhood. How do we overcome that? We have even conditioning from previous lives so much. How do we overcome it? Only by mercy, not by anything else. By taking shelter of that mercy. By eating the gulab jamuns. By somehow or other dancing in the kirtan. By taking shelter, by taking advantage. Then it will be done. Not on any other strength. Did you have any personal association with Srila Prabhupada? Not during his lifetime, but from the day I got involved, every day of my life. And personal association with Srila Prabhupada this morning. I fear chastisement. How can I overcome this? So I can put myself out there more. Yeah. I mean, it's honest. You're putting yourself here out on a vulnerable platform, and people laughed. Just to see. You know, you were opening up and vulnerable, fortunately, anonymously. And then, but they laughed, right? That's how it is. That's why it's not so easy to open up and to put ourselves more out there. But then again, what can anybody do to us? What can they do to us? What can chastisement do to us? When we are with Krishna, then we are safe, we're protected. People laugh at me, right? That I'm walking around this dress. I was on a train in India, in Bengal, and there's this guy, he's wearing Bermuda shorts with a flower design on it, right? A flower design of all things. He looks at my clothes, and he says, what kind of clothes are those? And then he says, how can you wear such clothes? And then I'm laughing at him also, right? I go, Bermuda shorts with a flower pattern on. How can you wear such clothes? Then I asked him, I said, are you wearing those shorts every day? He said, no, of course not. I wear different clothes every day. I said, well, I wear these clothes every day because they're spiritual and therefore they're fully satisfying. So I don't need to change. I need to put on Bermuda shorts sometimes and this and that. I can just be happy in wearing these same clothes because they're spiritual. That's the difference between your shorts and my clothes. Yeah. So, you know, just be a devotee. And then you're walking the right path. If anybody chastises you for walking the right path, what do you care? You know, they're fools. Right? Some fool says, ha ha ha, all right, that's foolish. So walk the right path, and you don't have to fear any chastisement anymore. Why do I feel bad things happen to me when I chant? And yes, in my material life. Yes, there are different offenses in the mentioned in the matter of chanting the holy name. And the eighth offense in the matter of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities or karma kanda. What does that mean? We've heard it many times. I'll try this. What it actually means is basically karma kanda are activities, spiritual, so-called spiritual activities, rituals which are performed to benefit material life. So this eighth offense basically means this. We should not think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is a process that's going to benefit our material life. I'm chanting Hare Krishna and the money's coming in. I'm chanting Hare Krishna and everything is great. I'm chanting Hare Krishna and you know, I really enjoy it. Everything is beautiful since I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Something like that. No. The chanting of Hare Krishna doesn't fix our material life. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it gives us love of God. It's not karma kanda. It's a mistake to think that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will solve all our problems. It doesn't. We'll still have problems. But who cares about them? They become less and less important to us day by day. Because what really matters is Krishna. This material world, always something. The material world is like an old broken car. You fix one side, and the other side, the screws start falling out. What can you do? It is just, you can't fix it. You keep on fixing it a little, fix this, fix that, but it will never be fixed. It's an old broken car. So why worry too much about it? And that was your very last question, I think. Wow, I did a lot of questions really fast. I prefer to be in kirtan, but I'm not inclined to chant Hare Krishna on beats. Is this okay? Is my attraction false? No, it's obviously, your attraction is not false. Your attraction is real. But you are a little bit... you know, one of those people who sit there with a nice plate of different preparations in front of them. I don't like those olives. I only like green olives. Oh no, I don't like black olives. I want the green ones. The avocado is not ripe enough. You know, I mean, are you a spoiled kid? Possibly. No, the thing is this, is that it's not a menu, you know, that we are choosing from a menu. I like this in Krishna consciousness, but I don't like that. No, it's mercy. It is a gift that is given to us by an incredible personality. You know, Srila Prabhupada, who just single-handedly changes the whole world. Single-handedly brings about a revolution. You try. But revolution, you know, let's make a revolution. Good luck, you know, you try. We see the students burned down the universities and they wanted free education. Did they get it? Now they don't have free education. They lost their libraries and things, and what else? You know, what did they get out of it? It's not easy to make a revolution. And Prabhupada single-handedly made that revolution. How? By being so extraordinary. By conquering people one after one. Not by, crowd, listen to me. And the crowd said, yes. Crowd, follow me. And the crowd said, yes. No. By one after one, convincing one after one, each one just became personally convinced and personally sold out. And Prabhupada, and it spread everywhere, and more people, even people that never met him in person, sold out. People that were not born yet when Prabhupada was here, sold out. That is Prabhupada. And he is saying, chant Hare Krishna. And he provides a whole lot of scripture to back it up. And then we say, well, you know, but I like kirtan, but I don't like japa. I don't like japa. I'll tell you why. Because in kirtan, right? In kirtan you can borrow. You borrow the ecstasy from others. Oh, so sweet, kirtan. Just very, very sweet. And then japa. In japa you do alone. In cold mornings, when other people are still in bed, that's when you do japa. And then, you know, in the kirtan, you feel the tears coming to your eyes and you feel, I have love of God. I have love in japa, you know. Kirtan is like a pleasant warm shower, you know. You don't want to get out of the shower, you just stay in there. In one temple we had one devotee, his name was Raghunath Bhatta, and we used to call him Raghunath Bathroom. Because he used to spend 45 minutes in the warm shower. Yeah? But I tell you, true story. Raghunath Bhatta. Yeah? But, you know, when it comes to a cold shower, even 45 seconds is a long time. It's a long time. And it is like, japa is the cold shower, and the kirtan is the warm shower. But the cold shower is very healthy, actually. Every doctor will tell you it's very healthy for the blood circulation to, you know, at least at the end of the warm shower, have some cold shower, or alternate. That's good for health. So we need it for our spiritual health. And like that, we can't be too picky in what we eat. You have to eat everything on the plate. It's good for your health. So chant japa is good for your spiritual health. And then you get a lot of spiritual wealth. And that's worth it. And then japa becomes very nice.
What can I say?
But because you like kirtan so much, I'll end with 5 minutes of kirtan and then it's over.